Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Elfson with the Digital Education Podcast, where I get the opportunity to have conversations. And that's the goal, is to have conversations with innovators, leaders, educators, people who care about the same things that I care about. And oftentimes what I find is people who are doing really cool stuff out there. And today I'm with Walter Blanks. He's the communications associate at the American Federation for Children. And before joining AFC, he was chosen for the first cohort for the Future Leaders Fellowship, which is a year-long advocacy and professional development program for graduates of private school choice programs, which is going to be kind of primary part of our conversation today. But before moving to DC, he was also part of the national team that championed educational freedom and shared his story across the country, serving as a 2018 50CAN National Voices Fellow, an advocacy fellowship that aims to find, connect, and support young leaders in education. But Walter, your story starts in Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. You know, so tell me about kind of how you got to this place of, you know, being, because so much of it starts in our own personal journey, you know, our personal story, and yours starts in Ohio, and I read a little bit about it, but I don't want to take it away. Tell me about, like, kind of where you started educationally, and then how you got into kind of, you know, a private school, and then what that did for you in those, in your, you know, educational experience and preparation.
Yeah, well, first off, Eric, thanks for talking with me. I really enjoy the conversation aspect of what I do. And telling my story, I think, is something that's very powerful. But yeah, like you said, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And I was attending public school, Columbus City Public Schools. And it was just a very, very tough time for me. I was just going to school because that's what, you know, all the kids did. You had to go. But I really wasn't learning anything. And I was in a place where I was constantly bullied. I was constantly a problem in the classroom. My family and I have this ongoing joke that my parents were at the school more than I was, because they were always there. They were always getting called there. You know, multiple suspensions, expulsions, and just it was not a good environment for me. I remember one day, I'm a huge superhero fan. My dad used comic books to help me catch up. Because I was a couple of grades behind in reading, so he used comic books to help kind of supplement my reading and stuff. And so, huge superhero fan. And so one day I had a Spider-Man shirt, it was a button-up shirt that I wore at school. And these kids came up and were telling me how ugly the shirt is and no one liked it, and started like ripping it off of me. Buttons flying everywhere, holes in my shirt. The shirt was ruined. And I remember that day going home and just crying my eyes out to my mom. I begged her, I said, please do not make me go back to that school. And I said, I was a kid, you know, so I was like, you know, you won't have to yell at me. I'll do all my chores without you having to say anything to me. Like, just don't make me go back to that school. And so she did a lot of digging, a lot of research, and she stumbled across the EdChoice Scholarship Program. And then with more research, found out that the public school that I was going to, I was considered failing the past 3 years. And so that's how I qualified for the scholarship. And so we toured a few different schools, and we landed at Tree Life Christian in Columbus. And at first I did not want to go because I had to wear a uniform. And I was like, how am I going to wear my cool superhero stuff? And, you know, being a kid, I was in the fifth grade. And so my mom, one day she looked at me and said, you know, you have an option. You know, you can either end up like all your friends at the public school who were, you know, skipping classes, getting into trouble, or you can give this school a shot and see where it takes you. So she told me, she said, well, take a couple of days, you know, let's take it a day at a time. And if you don't like it after a few days, then we'll talk about it and kind of, you know, reassess things. And earlier this year, when I went back home to Columbus, I asked her, I said, when you told me that, were you going to pull me out of school if I said I didn't like it? She's like, no. But, you know, I had to give you something to you know, kind of get through the days. So we laugh about that. But when I started going to Tree, I was multiple grades behind. And so the first few years were rough because I was trying to catch up to all the other students. And being in a private school, the curriculum was a lot more rigorous. So that made it even more difficult to catch up. So there was a lot of times in middle school where I had to skip out on recess and hanging out with my friends because I really had to hunker down and get caught up. But the teachers were more than willing to work with me, more than willing to stay after class, after school, to make sure that I was on track. And not aside from the education aspect of it, I was exposed to just so many different things being at this private school. I mean, I ran for student council. I varsityed in every sport that our school had to offer. I was in a couple of musicals. Like, I never thought I'd do a musical. Played an instrument, played the trombone for a little bit. I just got into, all of this stuff. Went to Europe for 2 weeks. I fell in the Seine River in the middle of February with a buddy of mine at night. Just all of these really cool experiences that young Walter would have never been able to imagine. And the school also was really in line with my own family values and what my parents wanted aside from education. And so they were really able to really mentor me and groom me into the man that I am today. And I'm very thankful for the staff and the people that really took the time to do it, because, what's the point of having a good education if you don't have integrity, if you don't have character? And so it was huge for my parents. And so I used this Ed Choice Scholarship from sixth grade all the way through 12th grade, graduated high school in 2014, which my parents didn't even know if that was going to happen. And then went on to college at a small private college about an hour north of Columbus called Mount Vernon Nazarene University, where I got my degree in journalism and media production. And now I'm in DC continuing this work, continuing to reach back into my community and communities like mine, because I know what it's like to be that kid drowning in a school with no way out. And I hope to be that hand, be that lifeline, be that support for those families and for those students, for future generations.
And that really was what I was going to ask, is kind of this transition from your own experience to, this beginning professional experience of education and being an advocate and helping. Like, what are the ways that, that you've found that you've really enjoyed you kind of reaching back into those communities and providing the opportunities, because your parents sound like they're really involved. That they advocated in a lot of ways for you and discovered those opportunities. But I think a lot of times people just don't have those advocates. And so, like, what animates, I guess, kind of two parts, what animates like the energy for you to be able to say, hey, I want to be a voice. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to reach back into my community or these other communities. And then how have you learned to help people kind of navigate, some of these opportunities as your parents helped you?
Yeah, I've always been a very giving person. I think my parents really ingrained that into me when I was younger. And my original plan before I got into all of this was to go and be a sports analyst for ESPN or Fox or whatever the case may be. I covered a lot of sports in college and my college and stuff. And that was the plan until I realized, this is a very, very big issue. It's very polarizing in politics today. And it was very hard for me to turn away from it. And once I found out, I could make a career out of it. To quote the Joker from Batman, he says, if you're good at something, never do it for free. And so, but I also had a chance. I realized that I had a chance to truly inspire, which is what, I really wanted. I've wanted to do all my life. And so, like you said, there are families, students, parents who have no idea that this option is available. I remember when the organization called my mom about it, like, she thought it was a scam because it's too good to be true at face value. And so I understand 100%, that there are a lot of people, especially in communities where I come from, that they don't know about this option. They can't even imagine private school. They're just trying to keep the lights on and put food on the table. And then for some people, they're just trying to live, they're just trying to make it through the night. And so, I realized that is such a huge, huge problem in our country. And so that's where I try to step in and be that voice for that parent or for that student who may not have that voice otherwise. And so one really cool thing that I get to do with my job is I get to engage with those parents, with those students across the country, and talk to them and listen to them and really see where they're at and kind of meet them where they're at and be that voice. And so, like, you know, right now there's legislation with the current administration to expand this school choice and this education reform idea. And since I've been able to travel, when I'm, you know, on Capitol Hill meeting with these people, I can say, you know, well, I met, you know, Cindy Lou from Arizona, from your state, and she needs this. Her parents want this. And so that's been very helpful to be able to be the voice for those people who don't have a voice otherwise.
And so that's, I mean, you get an interesting opportunity. You're from Columbus, Ohio, right? You know, out of that swing state, you know, really interesting political place. You're living in DC now, which is, you know, it's an interesting place to be right now, you know, especially as we prep for this next election. And then you get to travel quite a bit and you get to get into other people's lives and communities and opportunities like that. And, you know, with some of these things, like, what do you see? Like, give me an idea of what you see as what, because you did, you mentioned this is polarizing stuff. But then you also talked about character and the need for character in our, you know, in our country, our lives, you know, just even in our work. Is how does this all fit for you? And what do you see that's out there? And then what gets you excited for, you know, the coming years?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it all ties in. It all ties in together to make this, it's an intricate dance, you know, the education and the character and the values. But then you need people to be able to channel that into something, you know, productive. You need mentors, you need people speaking into your life. And so, I mean, for me, it's simple. You know, I get up every morning and I go to work with a smile on my face because I know that the work that I do today is going to have an impact in the lives of children tomorrow. And so, I mean, it's really hard to, you know, not be fired up about that all the time. You know, I work, you know, I don't know, way more than 40 hours a week, but it's something that I'm passionate about. It's something that I love. And I've always been the kind of person to ask, you know, what is my legacy going to be? When I die, you know, what people, not only what are people going to say, but how will the things that I did when I was alive affect people even after I'm gone? And so for me, that's why, you know, this was more attractive than sports, because, you know, this is, we're talking about the lives of children, you know, in the future. And so, so I wake up every morning, usually pretty early. That's just a part of the job. And, you know, the more time I'm awake, the more I can aspire, the more I can write an op-ed to, you know, a blog that somebody picks up and some congressman might be inspired to start some kind of school choice legislation in their state, you know? And so you just never know, who you're going to meet, who you're going to impact. And I think that's the amazing part of the job. Because I might get to the end of my life and then find out or not find out that, you know, I helped, you know, inspire hundreds of thousands of people to really push this thing forward and push for something greater. And so, I'm really, really fortunate, really honored, especially at a job right out of college, to be something that I love and something that I'm passionate about. I'm very, very fortunate and very, very blessed.
So tell me, I mean, you talk about these things and you had a pretty cool day yesterday, right? You know, you get to talk policy, you get to be in the White House, and then president asks you a question that kind of goes viral, right? And you know, tell me about yesterday and not only the experience part of things, but the policy stuff that you're talking about and then just the opportunity to sit at the table, you know, and have this conversation, you know, with the president of the United States.
Yeah, well, it was a tremendous, tremendous thing to be a part of. You always talk about, you know, being part of something that's bigger than yourself and something that, you know, you cannot achieve on your own. You need people. So the White House reached out about a few weeks ago about this event, and there's a lot of stuff. We'll put it that way. There's a lot of stuff that comes with engaging with the president, you know, various things, both good and bad. And so I was a little concerned at the beginning, but then I also realized, right, you know, I'm being invited to the table, but not only invited to the table, I'm being brought in to speak, right, to give my experience, to give my perspective. And, you know, and if I have to be, you know, the sacrificial lamb, so to speak, or whatever, to be able to really get this thing moving, then you know, so be it. And so we got to the White House, my first time at the White House, and we get in the room, and, you know, there's Senator Cruz, Representative Bradley Byrne, Secretary DeVos, you know, really heavy hitters in this space, in this movement, and just in the country, you know. And so they're like, yeah, just put, you know, find your nameplate where you're going to sit, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, like, I'm a 24-year-old kid, right? I've had really cool experiences, you know, all this stuff, but I'm still a kid at heart. And, you know, I don't know what I'm doing with these huge, you know, politicians and, you know, stuff like that. And so looking for my nameplate, I can't find it. I'm just like, where in the world is it? Like, I just want to know where I'm sitting. And so then Secretary DeVos looks at me and says, Walter, your nameplate, you know, is right across on the other side of the table. And so I look, and then right next to my plate, the name tag says the president. And it was just a really cool experience. And the thing that I'm going to remember more than any of that is just the opportunity to engage. You know, it's one thing to have, you know, the president talk about you and say, you know, these are the good things, but to be able to sit there and engage in the dialogue was the most important part to me. And so he got to me and he just asked for me to share a little bit of my experience in education and how it changed my life. And I really wanted to put an emphasis on the school to prison pipeline, because this administration has done quite a bit of work in, you know, criminal justice reform, a lot of really significant work. And so I really wanted to tie it in to the work that the president and the administration had already done. And so I talked about the school to prison pipeline, how there were a lot of students that I grew up with, that I was in the classroom with, who now are, you know, either in jail, are dead, or, you know, just, you know, who knows where they're at. And so, you know, that's a real thing. You know, when you in my community, if you can't, you know, read or write or compute at grade level, forget college. Like, I mean, you're not even finishing high school. And then, you know, most of these students come from, you know, single parent households. So then, you know, you take on the financial burden, and, you know, you don't have a high school diploma. So then what's the answer? You know, you turn to the streets, you turn to, you know, all these illegal activities. Which it only leads to one thing. And so so I talked about how the school to prison pipeline is a very, very real thing, especially in, you know, communities of color, and just put a really strong emphasis on that, and really encouraged not only the president but everyone there, all of the leaders who are there to take this issue really, really seriously. Because even with this, you mentioned the current election that's you know, getting ready to take place next year, there has not been a very strong conversation around education, not even just school choice, but just education as a whole. And I think that's a shame. You know, I think the conversation needs to be had, whether you support school choice or you don't, whether no matter what you support, our children are the next generation and the most important. We spend way more than any other country in educating our young minds. And, you know, we're in the middle, close to the bottom of the list, as well as, you know, how we perform. And so so that was the you know, kind of the meat of the conversation. And then the part that you talked about that went viral, you know, my parents always taught me to, you know, show a little personality. Don't be so stiff, don't be so tense when, you know, you're meeting with people and stuff. So the president was going around and asking, you know, some of the student speakers, you know, what are your plans? What do you want to do? And so he came to me and he asked me what did I want, or what were my plans moving forward? And I looked at him and said, I'm coming for the White House. And the thing that's so funny about that is, no one really knew that. I had never really told anyone that was, you know, my plan. I've always been a person to kind of, you know, work in silence and kind of, you know, just boom, here I am. A few people that I'm really close to knew that I, you know, kind of had that in the back of my mind. I have for a few years now. And so I didn't really fully plan to say that. But it, you know, it just kind of came out. And so afterwards, my mom called me and she's like, well, now you got to do it. You know, now you put it out there and the whole world knows it. And so now you don't have any choice. But it was a really good conversation, something to really, to continue the discussion about. And the thing that I love more about that viral moment is at least I hope, is that it sparks more conversation, you know, more importantly than, you know, oh, you know, look at Walter, this is what he wants to do. Like, no, we need to focus on putting these children in better positions to succeed. Otherwise, you know, by the time I'm president, there won't be a country to run because no one knows how to function within that space. And so I think that's very important looking forward.
So let me ask, you know, as we close out our time together, and I'm all in, I'm going to do the math and figure out what year you're going to be running. Right. You know,
right,
but you know, as we head into 2020 here, you know, and as we make this transition, you know, into the the spring legislative season, but then also the election, like policy wise, when it comes to education and school choice and some of these issues, like what gets, you know, you personally, what gets you personally excited for the work ahead for this next year?
The innovation. We're constantly talking about, you know, the new ideas, you know, things that we've never seen before. Like, you know, we think of people like Elon Musk and the things that he's been able to, you know, to accomplish. And, you know, there's a saying, you know, if you ask someone who had, you know, who rides back in the day when they would ride horses, if you ask them, you know, what's the fastest form of transportation, they would have shown you a picture of a horse, right? But now we don't even ride horses anymore. So the one thing that we're trying to do here at AFC is support schools, support policies that are innovating, that are innovative, that are doing things that look completely different than what we think of when we think of school, right? Because the times have certainly changed. You know, you wouldn't hop in a car that was made 150 years ago. But when you look at our education system, it's still at its basis formed and established the way that it was when it was first created. And so one thing that I'm looking forward to the most in this next year is meeting with people who are doing that. And I've been doing that. There's a really cool school out in Connecticut that I got to visit called Workspace. And it's kind of like that innovative, you know, kids are taking their own approach to their own education. I mean, they're doing robotics, virtual reality, you know, all of this really cool stuff that's different than even what I went to when I was going to school, what it looked like. And so I think that's going to be a key factor in pushing us further along. And so we need innovators, but we also need innovators to be able to inspire, to kind of spread this out in a comprehensible way so that it's something that, you know, we can measure, we can track, and really make sure that we're educating our kids the best way possible.
So Walter, I really appreciate your time. I mean, this is fun for me, you know, to kind of hear your story. It's encouraging, but I get excited for the work that you're doing. And, you know, the innovation stuff is, you know, some of the stuff that we've been after for the last decade now. And we're starting to see, you know, kind of, I guess the results, the good results of a lot of the work that me and friends and just even in the education space, you know, those things happening. So I encourage you to keep pushing on some of those levers and pulling. How do people kind of get connected with you, get in touch with you, or, you know, just learn more about the work that you're doing at AFC?
Yeah, so you can check out our website. That would be a good starting point, federationforchildren.org. And I'm on there, actually. I'm on there quite a bit more than I'd imagine that I'd like to be, but there's a couple videos that AFC has done around education and things like that. But my contact info is on there. But I think that's a good place to start, because Not only do we have a lot of policy stuff, we also have our Voices for Choice portal there, which is where we highlight hundreds of student success stories, school choice stories across the country, which is one of my primary objectives here at AFC, which I absolutely love. And so those are like really, really powerful, really cool stories on there. But yeah, that's the best way to kind of get involved and see, learn a little bit more about us and what we do.
Walter, really appreciate your time, your story, and just even sharing more of the what gets you excited, what animates you, and then even just your aspirations. And I think I kind of got it figured out. 2032 might be the first opportunity for you. So
yeah, I'll circle it on the calendar.
Thanks, Walter.
Eric, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.